Introduce yourselves and tell us what you do in the band.
Tim first.
Jordan plays bass.
Tim Drew talks shit.
I'm Daryl, and I don't think you can say that on the radio.
Yeah, can you say that on the radio, or we gotta go back?
Oh, really?
It's fine.
Oh, it's fine. Okay, cool.
You're about done?
Yeah, I'm
cool. I'm Paige Hamilton. Play my VHT stock.
Jeez. Okay. How long have about the snap been around for?
I think we started in like March, just March of what, 2005? Me and Padgett just jamming out, and then we got these suckers and ended up actually doing a band. We just recorded the demo, two of us, and somehow we ended up doing something out of it.
I'm on a salary of a blank stare seven inches. I just eat them when they give them to me. Check out that band, they're awesome. I eat their records.
Were you in any previous bands?
There is a little bit of an embarrassing past.
Please share.
Me and Patrick were in a band called Get Wise, and we don't, first rule of Get Wise, we don't talk about Get Wise. After that, Patrick was in a good band. He'll tell you about that.
Yeah, I played for this band, No and Never, and Tim was actually supposed to put at the 7-inch, but then people just started being real flaky, and we kind of broke up. And Tim sang for Oxbaker in the last lineup.
Yeah, I was the nail in the coffin on that one. Yeah, I also played in a band called Minesweeper that people worship because it was really half-assed. People appreciate the lack of effort. It was good times. And Jordan played in a wicked band called Walk It Off in London.
I was in the greatest band on earth called 401. Check it out sometime.
Really? 401?
Yes.
As in the highway?
Absolutely. Right. Actually, it was the it was a band I started with some friends when I was a kid. It was the price of a chocolate milk at the time. That's about all it was. So you can tell how important that we were.
How did about the snap form?
Pedro went and bought a guitar, and I had a day off, so I went with him. And then we went to my mom's basement. I was living in Windsor at the time, but my parents still lived back in London area. And he wanted to try out his guitar, and I played on these pieces of crap that I had for years, and we jammed out, I think, song three, and a couple songs we scrapped. And
11 songs in a day.
Yeah, we just started jamming and went, oh, this is actually fun. And since there's no one to actually play with in London, we decided to do something again.
Okay, and how did you recruit everybody else in the band?
I heard the demo, and I basically...
Yeah, it was 10 bucks an hour.
Jordan's actually a robot. He's made of Lego, and he came to life through magic.
Like Pinocchio.
Kind of, yeah. I can't really talk about it too much. I mean, like, you don't want other Lego people coming around, or else the world will stop.
And look for Geppetto.
C6.
Yes.
Yeah.
Explain the name, About to Snap. Where did it come from?
Pretty much, if I leave my house and try and do something, veins start bulging out of my head because nothing goes my way. So it's basically, you know, based
on... life in a nutshell?
Yeah, pretty much. Pedge actually crafted the name.
Yeah. About Tim?
It's actually... Yeah. No, it's actually T-A, not to, like, test.
No, I think I was in my job, and I was really, like... I work in a group home with, like, four guys with disabilities, and I think somebody was having a temper tantrum, and I kind of, like... I was about to, like, go, you know, just insane, and
about to snap.
And like, I was just talking to Tim, like, okay, these guys are, like, you know, screaming, freaking out, and, like, I'm about to snap. And I'm like, yeah, that's a good band name.
And that's how it was born.
Yeah.
Cool. And that sounds like, okay. What was the idea behind the band when you first started?
We were just bored.
Just to be boredom?
No, we were bored.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was a way of beating boredom.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that's what I mean.
It was just guitar and drums to start. And then, I don't know, we went and recorded. Like, he did the bass tracks, and I just wrote some lyrics at some stupid job I had for a while.
Were you trying to be, like, a certain sound, or what kind of sound?
Just really fast.
Yeah.
I see a lot of 97A influence in it. Like, when I hear, like, the first... Well, especially now, like, more now, like, the songs are getting, like, just doing crazier, almost, like, verging on, like, a Terrorizer influence, because... Pedge has a big boner for a Terrorizer, so...
That's true.
Yeah. That's rude.
Except
that's
for
just
the big.
Wrong. Yeah.
I have it on.
No, I heard the demo. I was just the two guys, and I heard the demo, and I just thought it was so awesome. I just begged to be in it, because I'm a big nerd.
Daryl was actually originally going to be the singer, because he didn't have drums, and I didn't think I could possibly sing all those words and, like, not die. So I was just gonna keep playing drums.
I didn't want to be a scab, so I didn't want to sing Tim's because Tim already had some songs in. So I was like, you know, and I'm also Tim's crazy and he hits himself and stuff, and I'm just a fat nerd that just can't do anything. So I'd be like, these pointless tasks mean, and then I just pass out or something. Yeah. So it wouldn't be anywhere as interesting.
So did you really just start playing drums though? Because you play them well.
Oh, thanks, man. I just kind of played like on my friend's sets and stuff like that, and like when we were in the practice space, like. We're dying, like, looking for a drummer, and, like, I was just goofing around and just got on the drums, and, like, I actually wanted to be, we wanted to have two guitars, because it was just going to sound really full, but I just got on the drums, I was like, oh, screw it, I'll just play these for now, and, like, I would tell them, like, I didn't think I was good enough at the time, but they were like, eh, that'll do. That's kind of our motto, that'll do. That's fine. Whatever.
You guys are all from different towns, though, right?
Kind of.
How did, like, it seems like that would be an obstacle actually for this band to exist. How do you guys function as a band really?
Most of them are from.
We don't.
Yeah, well, we do. Yeah, we kind of don't. It's most of the practicing is done with. I think there's
at shows.
Yeah. No, well, it's better now. Like Jordan was in school a lot and stuff, but now he's out. And I think it'll probably be easier now. But it's mostly like I don't know. Me and Pedja kind of work out the kinks, and then
when I'm not the doing Enigma, important stuff the Enigma at my Tim. Job, I. Grace them with my presence.
And yeah.
Lay on a couch while they play.
We call him the king. Actually.
We actually do practice. We're just kind of joking.
I pick once
a week, something like that.
I picked my king. It wasn't Jesus or Elvis.
Do you guys practice like in London or in Sarnia?
Sarnia.
We practice in Sarnia. Sarnia.
So you guys all commute to Sarnia.
Yeah. Sucks.
That's closer for you though.
Sort of, but like
not really.
That hour drive is like 18 hours long. If you've ever driven a Sarnia, yeah. You'll know exactly what I'm talking about.
402 is beautiful.
Yeah, the 402 is pretty empty.
The scenic, gorgeous. Prestige and then and then you get into Sarnia and you go, oh, wow, like, check out all those buildings with crap flowing out of them. It's awesome. Okay,
it's on fire.
Cancer in it.
Yeah.
Floating cancer!
And a radioactive forest.
Yeah. Why? Well, yeah, trees have tentacles and all that stuff.
Okay, you started mentioning Terrorizer and 97.8. Who do you consider influences on the band sound?
Me.
But music-wise?
It's... I don't know.
Okay, I can... I can break it down the first demo, okay?
Yeah, okay. He can, yeah. Hardcore bands just rip off.
Dude, people say... Okay, hold on. People say we sound like Striking Distance. I don't hear it.
Me either.
First two songs,
Dave Bird today
can close my eyes off the EP. I just changed the note.
Dave Bird of Striking Distance.
Song 3 is The Nerve Agents. Song 4 is Uniform Choice. Oh, song 5 is like 10-year fight. Okay, so now that's...
There it is. The secret's out.
Okay, we do not sound like Striking Distance. But they're cool.
Yeah, no, Striking Distance are
okay,
great,
that's good. So the record's corrected now?
Yeah.
Yeah, so that's... You just... Yeah, we'll solve the mystery of hardcore. It's derivative.
This is by numbers here.
Yeah.
But
it's
EP?
Awesome, too.
Does the EP have a similar...
No, the new stuff is...
A similar ripoff.
The new stuff is... I don't know, like... Because Jordan joined the band and so did Daryl, so... It's a lot more... diverse and sounds are a little more complex because he also writes and he gives me ideas like nonstop and he butchers the songs.
And I try not to sing about hardcore anymore.
Yeah, Daryl.
He's pointing to me when
okay, Daryl like gives me ideas. Jordan writes and Tim butchers the songs. He's like, yeah, this sucks.
Yeah. Well, they go, hey,
the one
what do you think
all
of that?
The songs sounding like Iron Age.
You say, hey, what does that sound like? I say, oh, well, it's cool, but it sounds like this.
Correct.
And then they say, could you not be honest and just do what we tell you?
That's how it works, actually.
Or can you sound more like Fat Nuts?
Yeah,
Fat Nuts is a
Fat
great
Nuts,
band.
Yes.
Let's not joke about that. Okay. Fat Nuts is about life.
Is there more
musical influences? Because you do sound like a lot of things. Like I hear all kinds of things in your sound.
I think the Striking Distance comparison will immediately stop after this 7-inch. Like I think it's like I don't know. It's a lot different. Like Pedge's writing, God. A lot better, and same with Tim's. Like Tim's lyrics are awesome on the new record, if I do say so myself.
Have you got much feedback from people? What do they say you sound like?
We don't entertain anybody else.
but I'm sure you have friends and they say,
people.
Hey, that sounds like whatever or whatever. You know, have you heard anything?
Well, I've heard that we're too tough.
You're too tough.
Yeah,
from MRR.
Yeah, well, MRR said it, and
really,
apparently, we're reviewing the new issue.
Yeah.
And I've heard that comparison in a couple others. It's tough sounding. There was this band from the UK which ruled called Voorhees, and
yes,
is very guttural and you know very tough sounding. But
yeah, they sound
those
a lot
I wouldn't
guys
say
long hair.
I wouldn't say they're on the lines of Fat Nuts. You know, they're not.
Yeah,
definitely not a tough band, and But I don't know. As far as like a musical influence goes, I would say bands like 97A and SOA and, you know, Pedge is really into Bastard and Terrorizer and things like that. Mm. I mean, we all listen to a lot of different stuff.
Infest at all?
Oh yeah. Well, Infest is the king. I mean, obviously, but
because you guys sound a lot like, well, to me.
Anyway. Oh, there's a lot of thanks.
Oh yeah, well, it's cool. Yeah, that's great. Like, I love that. That's all the kind of thing. I don't know. It's really eclectic, and I hate to say that too, because it's just, oh man, our sounds eclectic. And it's like a youth group.
No, like at one point I hear you doing a drum fill, and it sounds like Bad Brains' Big Takeover. And the next minute,
that's the best thing I've ever heard. I'm gonna marry you, Steve.
I'm hearing you. No, but that's sorry. That's I guess that's my point.
Like, that's awesome.
I hear lots of things coming out of your sound. I see a diverse. And that's what I'm trying to capture. Like,
that's what makes it hard to, you know, to push records on people. Like, if that was our goal, you know, because they're like, "What does it sound like?" We're like,
"I don't know. It's fast."
It sounds like Tim hitting.
You take the last 20 years of hardcore and mash
it. Yeah, yeah. It sounds like fast hardcore, but I mean, there's also elements of like, you know, some of the segues and stuff and like slower parts. I would say is a little bit go it alone, kind of like melodic hardcore Northwest sound. But then you mix it with like fast thrashy stuff. I mean, like the one song we all say is like, "Oh, it's like what happens next?"
Yeah.
You know,
we
like thrash, we like mosh, we like all that kind of stuff, you know. Oh, yeah, that's one feedback we do get is that, you know, we're too moshy for thrash kids and we're too thrashy for mosh kids.
Yeah, so that's, yeah.
No, so, one likes, you know, us. We're just, overall, we're just trying to please everybody.
Or nobody.
Yeah, or nobody at all.
Okay, if you had to limit your record collection to 5 punk releases, what would they be? And I guess, yeah, what would they be? We each got 5.
Oh, I hate you. Okay, let's see. Okay, he goes first. My voice cracked. I'm going through puberty.
It sounds like
there's changes that a boy goes through. I just want to tell you about them.
Right, definitely both Chain 7 Inches. DRI Dealing With It. Oh, shit.
Poo.
I'd say Terrorizer. World Downfall. And Sick of It All. Blessed with no tears.
Conscience has been passed.
Oh, man. All right. I'm going to try to cheat as much as possible.
Yeah, you can't say discographies.
Oh, man. Okay. Fine. No, Minor Threat. Okay. First 7-inch. Minor Threat's second 7-inch. Minor Threat's LP. I don't know. I'm just really influenced on, like, Discord and, like, that. The whole Washington, D.C. thing is what...
That early era.
Oh my God! Yeah, Georgetown. But I'll have to definitely say, like, it's really hard because, like, you know, I want to say, like, if discographies count, I'm gonna say the Minor Threat discography is the one. Probably Youth of Today, Break Down the Walls. I don't know, Black Flag, Damaged. I don't know. I hate these questions because I can never. This is all. Like, I'm a nerd and I just sit in my room and just kind of make these lists. Like today, I would pick State of Alert, but the other days I would pick Voids.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah. No, I understand. It's hard to sum it up.
It is.
Who wants to limit it? But
pass it on to.
That's not the question. I'm just gonna say the disc, like anything in the Discord collection, basically.
I would say. First off, Battery Until the End's LP, because that's, I don't know, one of the biggest influences on me. 97A's Society's Running on Empty. The Rights, Wish You Never Knew. And I realize a lot of these are more modern, but I think saying things like Negative Approach, it's kind of redundant. If you don't like Negative Approach,
you should
probably like be dead. What else? Okay, that's 3. I don't know. I'm trying to think of things that I actually play a lot. Damnation AD is Kingdom of Lost Souls record. And one more. Integrity. We'll say... Why can't I think of the freaking name? Systems Overload. That's
I think that. Fat Nuts for 7-inch is probably like the most influential.
I mean, that's another unspoken... That's obvious.
Yeah, like you don't... Minor Threat, duh. Fat Nuts, of course.
There you go.
Don't you know.
Now you guys have become fucked up with the end jokes. Jordan?
I'll say I like Bad Brains, Black Dots, The Broadways, Broken Star. I'll fill in Count Me Out for Pedja.
Nice.
And,
thanks.
I had some on my head, but now I don't remember.
We have these nerdy conversations like every time we're waiting for Tim to come back from Mackin' on Girls, we'll just I'll be in the van with Pedro going, dude, what's your top 10, man, like this week? And his will be like Mastodon or something 1 week, and then the other.
Mine's just girls' phone numbers, top 10.
Exactly.
Okay.
Continue.
Is there any more?
Leatherface.
Yes. Absolutely.
That'll take the last two spots.
Okay. Tim, do you write most of the lyrics?
Yeah. Actually, as far as I know, I've written all of them.
Okay, what are some of the things you sing about?
Despite sounding like a douchebag in this interview so far, I try it. I mean, on the demo, I was pissed off about my job and stuff, and I mean, that still goes on. I still can't deal with, like, everyday reality sort of things, so as far as, like, what I write about is just frustration with, like, this is it, and this is my life, and, like, working, and getting nowhere, and the inevitability of death, and like the pointlessness of the whole existence, and I don't know. I guess I'm kind of big on existentialist philosophy. Aside from that, I write some songs about vegetarianism animals. Yeah, Nietzsche.
Yeah.
No, we're all vegetarians and stuff, and I don't know. Write about that kind of thing. On the demo, I mean, a couple of songs were a little like singing about hardcore, but. Like, the one song was written on Jason O'Young's steps while Pedro was recording the bass tracks and trying to hurry that along. I'm trying to stay away from, writing about hardcore. Obviously, it's a huge part of my life, but, what can be said about it that hasn't been said 1,000 times and never listened to? And there's a lot more things going on worldwide that should have the focus than what's going on, in our little scene.
Okay. You guys are all vegetarians?
Yeah.
Okay. Why did you guys become vegetarian?
Okay, mine's threefold. I was lifting a lot of weights at the time and started making the connection that meat was muscle. I was also watching a lot of zombie films at the time and furthering that connection of meat is muscle. So it's kind of started to get grossed out on it. And then one day I went grocery shopping to buy some chicken fingers because I was craving that. And I thought, this one's $2 cheaper. And then I got home, started cooking them, and opened it up and went, what the hell is gray meat? So I decided that I wasn't going to eat this crap anymore. And so that's me being a weirdo, and that's that.
No, it's fine. Yeah.
Mine was more like I never ate that much meat as a kid. I just didn't like it, but I started realizing that it wasn't like, didn't make sense to grow like fields and fields of corn to feed cows that we're going to eat those cows. Why don't you like just grow food that I'll eat right away? And it was like really easy for me to stop
faster food,
stop eating. Like it was something that I could do that was like so simple.
Yeah.
For me, it was kind of a process. My dad was a hunter and I was like, guns are rule and death is awesome. And you can't make that connect 'cause you just the movies and stuff like that. But remember, I went on a hunting trip with him once, and we did.
Which must have been fun.
Yeah, well, this is kind of what turned it. What happened was like we shot this deer, and it didn't die, and it was just like I'll never forget. It was just like screaming and like pain. It was just like the most disgusting thing ever, and I couldn't. Like, it's never been able to leave me because like we basically had to go up and put it out of its misery, and it was like the worst sound of my, like ever, and like it just scarred me. So like I don't know, after that like it just kind of started looking into I had a friend Stu Morris who basically
looking into not eating venison first and
yeah, well it was like I don't know, it was just basically like, well this sucks, like I don't want to be involved with this, as a modern society, there's absolutely no reason, we live in a first world country, we can afford to not have to, that's my opinion of it anyway, like, it's kind of a personal thing, like, I'm not telling anybody what to do, but it's like, living in Canada, like, I don't think I need to go bare naked into the forest and try to, get my food or whatever,
pelt.
There's always people that are like, well, we're made to eat meat, blah, 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 look at her teeth and all this horse shit, basically, and I don't think it's necessary, and, like, I had friends that were into it and, like, were and animal rights and stuff like that, and they got me into it. But that was the big turning point for me, was seeing that.
Yeah.
It's like, yeah. Just, you know.
That's a crazy experience.
Yeah.
I don't know. I just don't think it's right. And that's all I can say about it, because these guys covered it well, so I don't know.
Okay. I want to go back to the lyric question. Tim, can you ask? I want to know what your favorite About to Snap song is from a lyrical standpoint, and why. So I want you to basically highlight a song that you think you kind of nailed or is important to you. Or
well, I mean, every song we write is probably the best song ever written.
I'd say we're a little more important than the Beatles.
Yeah. This point. Honestly,
yeah. Kevin's in the room.
The new songs, like, you know, are definitely way faster and way more intense, and I really like the lyrics that I'm doing for them. So I would say the one new song basically is about humans should basically stop expanding and maybe start
what's that?
Dying. Yeah, volunteer, and start dying, basically.
Human extinction.
particularly in London. London is known as the Forest City, and I was just reading up about how all these builders of these stupid suburbs and these wide expanses of you know, useless homes and stuff are basically going to sue London if they're not allowed to tear down all these forests, so they can put up all this bullshit for all these people instead of, like, you know, building a condo. And, you know, I know Urban Blight wouldn't back that at all, but no, I kind of understand what's going on there, but, like, it's just a waste of space, and we're just driving, you know, deer and all these animals out of their homes. It's not just happening here. I mean, it's happening everywhere. Maybe humanity needs to, like, stop reproducing. It's the one that needs a population reduction.
And we're paving the best land to grow food on and stuff like that.
Yeah. Well, everyone needs a Walmart. Who needs corn, you know?
Urban centers start around places that are usually fertile ground, because that's, you know, they're able to grow stuff, and
yeah,
you just start paving over it, and then you can never grow stuff on it again.
And eventually you get a giant city like Toronto that doesn't have a farm within it, and you wonder where all the food's coming from.
Yeah, pretty much. Okay, the rest of you, could you please answer that question?
I don't know, like, most of the lyrics that well, but
I know it's
like
usually a cop out, but the third song
on the demo, it just sort of like sums up being pissed off about your job.
What's the song called?
Song three.
We're incredibly lazy.
It's just like everything that we like to do, like, you don't make any money at it, and so we have to do stuff that we hate doing just to, so that we can do stuff that we like to do, and it pisses us off.
Yeah.
But it's just like, it's pretty straightforward, and it sums it up pretty well.
Yeah, I kind of agree with him, with Jordan. And people always, you know, complain. Like, I remember I had a friend who was complaining. He was like, well, oh, it's all right and stuff. And then I think he was listening to Fucked Up or something, and there's a song, like, I think it's Circling the Drain, and it's basically, you know, it's like, oh, well, they, you know, all they do is talk about their jobs and whatever, and, you know, and that's, like, so it's like, you know, it's not that meaningful. And, like, well, the thing is with hardcore is that what's awesome about it is that it's, you know, you're not really necessarily, it's not necessarily trying to be just like, I'm here to cause a revolution, like, I'm, you know, like, I don't know, it's just basically, you know, it's a vent for, it's not necessarily for anybody else, it can just be, you know, that's the great thing about it, is that it'll all be continuing. There'll be some 14-year-old kid in Corunna or Sarnia, you know, like, listening, just like, I do hate school. School does suck, you know, like, that's great. Like, I don't know, it's anger, basically. Like, yeah. I don't know. So I think it works out well.
To get it on that emotional and...
Yeah, like, I mean, it's always going to be there. Like, that's kind of the, you know, that's kind of the point of it, you know. Otherwise, I think the last song in the 7-inch is also, like, on the new one that just came out, is really, really good too.
What's it about?
It's Tim Field, that question. It's kind of
basically it's about animal testing and cloning and you know, just messing with their DNA structures, and companies being able to copyright such things.
I saw that in the corporation, actually.
Yeah. And I mean, one of the lines is a renewed lease on everything that was never ours. I mean, we had never had any right to cut up an animal in the first place for no real reason. And now it's just continuing on, like, an even further level, where someone could basically go, you know, Nike now proudly presents their version of the squirrel.
Yeah.
Wearing Dunks.
Well, yeah. Well, that's the other thing I like about it, too, is just, like, it's kind of the idea of, you know, basically, it's just more irresponsibility as part of human culture. Like, it's like, well, we got the DNA, so, you know, if we, you know, screw this, you know, if we make this animal go extinct, we'll just start breeding more of them, you know, we got the DNA for it.
Yeah, it's a total cop-out that they can just, well, whatever, oops, we killed everything.
That's manufactured.
It's almost like rich kids, you know. Rich kid throws a temper tantrum, smashes his TV, and says, Mom, give me a new one.
Yeah,
I think mine's Sonic 3 again, just because, like, I'm not lazy. I like work, but I just hate doing a job, you know. Like, I'm 28 and I've got almost, well, close to 40 years of doing a job before I can retire, so I honestly cannot wait until I'm 65 so I can just enjoy my life or whatever's left of it. So, I don't know. It's just the idea of slaving away your life. I mean, you can try and do whatever you like, but chances are, like, it's not going to happen just because of the way the society and the system is built. Like, you're supposed to go into debt to get good credit and then bust your ass to pay it off, and by the time, like, you look around, you're like 40 years old or 50,
you're already dead.
Yeah, that's the chorus of the song, basically.
Or too old to enjoy.
That's basically the chorus of the song.
Yeah,
like, the opening line totally sums it up, like, as being like a frustrated hardcore. It's just like, once a month you get to live, and it's 30 days of being dead. Like, that's just, that's,
particularly
that
in
sums
an area
it
where
up.
You don't get a lot of hardcore shows,
exactly.
You know?
Like, you know, it's just like one, and then it's like, oh, everything else, then you're going to manic depression mode again. Which is, yeah.
So. Okay. Tell us about the stuff you have recorded so far to date. What do you have sort of out?
We just have,
when did they come out?
We have the demo that was, we did it in March last year. It came out on vinyl. Tim put it out on vinyl.
And was it just the five songs?
Yeah, it's
Specimen32.com.
Boom.
Yeah, it's five songs and a print on the B side, and then a new 7-inch with two songs. With 10 songs just came out yesterday.
Get fabulously low.
Yeah. So that's released
on A3 at 9 Recordings out of Baltimore.
That's really all we have. And there's also a live recording from our London show at Quality Office that nobody ever will get to
it's
hear.
It's locked in a vault with Disney.
So basically,
Walt Disney's head.
We basically have 15 songs. On vinyl, and that's all we have. No CDs. Nobody's that foolish to put out an RCD.
Yeah.
Not yet.
We'll find some sucker.
What do you have anything that you have recorded that hasn't been released, or are you hoping to record some more stuff?
Well, we're looking to record some more stuff, definitely.
Not yet, though, because the 7 just came out, but we're going to try and do an LP, 20-song LP or something like that. It's half done.
Well,
we actually played almost 10 new songs tonight.
Yeah, you played a lot. Will Specimen 32 put it out, or do you think someone else might put it out?
Sorry, I only invest in the best and brightest. I would probably chip in on it, maybe do a split release. The dude that does, I think it's Hydrahead, he also does that band Isis, and there was an interview where they're like, yo, why don't you just put the stuff out, and he went with a different label because he wanted to see if someone else was interested in it.
Mm.
Like, I can piss my money away all I want and put out, like, all these about Snap Records, but, you know, it's kind of flattering that, like, you know, Dominic, like, that used to live around Toronto, liked our, you know, we gave him a copy of it and liked it enough that he was, like, the next day, he's like, yo, I want to put this out. So, I mean, that means a lot to me that someone actually cares.
Yeah.
Other than me and other than us. So.
I don't care.
I know you don't care about anything other than naps and sleep and food, but
helmet,
helmet.
Power,
Macedon.
Can you tell us a bit about, I guess, the London scene, or
what London scene?
Well,
is there a scene there?
There was at varying points.
Do you play with anybody?
No, I've actually boycotted doing London now for a fair amount of time. When we first started out, we were playing like typical London shows, which is about 40 or 50 people. And most of them are just there because it's, you know, some social structure that they have to be a part of, and not so much that they actually give a shit about music or anything. And now, you know, no matter how much we fly or no matter who's playing, 10 people come out, and most of it's like a girlfriend's friend. So I don't really feel the need to play to people that...
Is there any good bands that you'd recommend from...
From London?
Or St. Thomas or Sarnia or wherever, like this area that you guys play?
Sarnia. There's a band called Sarnia, and it's the funnest live show you'll ever see. In the tradition, Boston, Nazareth, and all the bands named after cities. You owe me $20, too.
Yeah. Sarnia is actually wicked, and there's another good band from Sarnia
called... Look People did a band like that.
What's that?
Look People did a band like that.
Who did?
Look People.
Oh.
They did a one-night project band, and they called it Guelph.
Nice.
So it's in the same spirit of Sarnia.
Awesome. Well, he can add that to the intro of the next release they
but,
do.
But I'm more interested in punk bands. Is there like any punk bands from around?
London, there are like things that call themselves punk, but it's confused in that whole like wave of Silversteins and Alexis on Fires and all that kind of garbage. And it's all just trying to get on the radio, play big shows, and make money. They don't know of any bands called like Minor Threat, which is kind of
blows
my mind.
Yeah.
The punkest thing I've seen in London is that Black Flag shirts are sold at Backstage Pass, which is basically like Canada's version of Hot Topic. There are no... the punk rocker kids that you'll see downtown have just found this fashion somehow. They don't like music. They don't go to shows. They just talk about bands and wear patches and download them and then don't actually support anything to do with hardcore punk rock.
Okay. I don't know. Is there anything else, like zine-wise or places to play? Or
my friend Stu has got a zine called Free Society. He's been doing it for years. I think like it's got to be like, I don't know, like 8 years now or something. But he's still doing it. He's still trucking on with it. And it's like, it's you know, it's awesome. I like what he has to say. And I don't know, it's based out of Sarnia, so it's really good.
But no London scenes, no London bands, no London venues. There's a good venue in London. It's called the Whippet Lounge, and a lot of bands, and there's a lot of history, like Haymaker and Fucked Up, No Time Left, but The Control, Count Me Out, Striking, played the first Canadian show at the Whippet Lounge. There's a lot of history to it, but it's kind of getting run down, and nobody ever goes. And we just stopped playing shows in London because last time we played, it was like 8 kids. And I'm not even like exaggerating. It was 8 kids at our show, so we just played a release show last night in Sarnia because I don't know, kind of.
Because I'm staking that as our hometown.
Yeah,
it's people are really welcoming there.
As far as zines go, I mean, I've seen it. Like, I've had a couple young kids from Sarnia come up to me and, you know, hand me this like personal zine that they've made. Like, it's all photocopy, cut and paste. And while you know, like, they've got the 15-year-old mentality where they're talking about something, and it's kind of like, well, you know, there's a different side to this. It's still really cool that they're putting in any effort to do these sort of things.
Yeah.
And it's cool to see that aspect of hardcore punk
stuff. Signs of life in the...
Yeah, Sarnia's got incredible signs of life. I mean, every time we play there, it's incredible. There's tons of kids, and it's not just that it's a small town and they're bored. They're really excited about hardcore and punk rock, and they're way into it. This one band, Circumcised at 13, or CA 13, are like, what, 16, 17 years old? And kids they're like way into like bands like Rambo, and they like thrash stuff, and then they're also playing like Gorilla Biscuits covers and
Coach Loach by Dear I was played last night.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I mean they're all like, kids down there are into that as much as they're into like 25 to Life and everything. Like, they just love every aspect of hardcore and punk rock.
That blows me away.
Yeah, it's
no,
it's really strange, honestly.
Having gone to Sarnia many times. So.
Oh, I'm just as surprised as you are, because it kind of flourished like... It was off, and like when I was younger, like when I was like 14, so like that, there was kind of one, and then it just like a bunch of people went away to school, and then it was just like dead for a couple years, and then like, I don't know, there's like a couple.
Is
kids
there like recently. Lambton College in Sarnia? Or
yeah,
something?
Yeah, yeah.
Is there like a radio station or anything like
that? I think so, but it's like I don't know. I think they just play like the newest Slayer album sometimes and stuff. Like,
so it's nothing to pay attention to.
I don't know.
To.
Yeah, it's nothing really that, you know.
Okay.
Yeah, I've not that I've heard of. For all I know, I was out of it for a while. Like, for all I knew, there'd be like all these, you know, youth crew shows going on in basements that I don't know about. But I was kind of out of touch for a bit. But I don't know. That's
Tim,
my problem.
You said you did a show on CJAM once.
Yeah, I did it for a couple years.
Is there any good punk shows on CJAM at the moment?
Not that I'm aware of. There's like a Wiener punk show that plays like Fat Records, kind of garbage.
Yeah.
And there was a metal show, and there was this guy from Searching for Chain used to do a show on there. But he just got burned out on a scene that went nowhere.
What about CHRW in London?
They used to have a decent show that would play. I mean, they played more on the metal end of things, but that was on Friday nights. And Andre, that sings in that band Fever Out, yeah, used to do a show, and it actually helped me get into like a lot of different hardcore and punk rock bands. He used to, I think it was it just Hardcore Still Lives? I think that's, he just had that mad ball like song. Yeah. Still Lives! Yeah, yeah. Set it off, he just played that, and like, I mean, through that, I got into some bad bands because I was into like some terrible metalcore for a while, but
you know. Tim doesn't fake it, he just takes it.
That's right. But yeah, Andre used to do a show, but since then, I mean, there's nothing in London. A lot of scenes seem to have like this like cycle where they get more life back into it, but our town basically dries up. The kids moved on and they haven't come back.
Okay.
Your stockbroker's calling too.
I hear it going off.
What are the band's plans for the next little while?
Just play out as much as we can, because the record's out, and we're actually touring in December. We're gonna go down to Florida and play a few shows on the way down and a few shows on the way up. I mean, on the way back home, it's gonna be like.
Is that like a week or 2 weeks?
It's gonna be, I think, 10 days, something like that.
Yeah.
So we've played the States before, but just never for more than 3 consecutive days. So we're just gonna try and play as much as we can and work on the LP.
Yeah, try to come up with 22 songs to annoy you or something.
You play 22 today.
It wasn't all new stuff. Like some, you know, most of it was like the new 7-inch that just came out yesterday. A389 Records.
How can people get in touch with the band?
About to snap at yahoo.ca.
Through Fox News at myspace.com/about to snap.
Okay.
And about to snap at yahoo.ca.
Any last comments?
Thanks for giving a shit and letting us do this.
Yeah, thanks a lot.
It means a lot to us.
It was great. You guys were amazing. Thank you.
Awesome. Thanks,
and thanks for driving from Sarnia.
Yeah. No problem. Sorry we're late.
Yeah, you know, I like to hang out there. I mean, you know.
I'm sure you do.
It's a beautiful city.
Yeah. Close in the dark.
Absolutely. Tentacles and trees.
Thanks very much.